We welcome you again to this episode of Past Impressions on the Mormon Channel. I'm Brent Topp, the chair of the Department of Church History and Doctrine at Brigham Young University, and I am your host of this program. Today, my guest is Professor Larry Porter, Emeritus Professor of Church History and Doctrine from Brigham Young University. And Larry, I'm glad to have you with me today as we talk about some important events and people of particularly the New York period of church history.
It's a treat to be here, Brent.
Well, Larry, I've learned so much from you through the years, and we're going to talk today about, I like to call it, the friends and foes of Joseph Smith, of what's going on in that Palmyra area and later down in Colesville and down in the Susquehanna area. Who would we say, if we were to identify some of the main friends of the Smith family that become important figures in the history of the church, who would jump out right off the top of your head as some of the most important friends of the Smith family in that area?
Martin Harris becomes an immediate. The Smiths came, Father Smith, in 1816. Mother Smith, from an interesting chronology which we have found, arrived here in January of 1817. And Martin is one of the leading figures in the community. He's a pathfinder and a roadmaster and a well-to-do farmer and well-known as a hunter and a fisher and a doer. And it's very probable that Martin Harris met the Smiths earlier than, but we can definitely trace it to 1824 when Hiram Smith and Father Smith were digging a well and rocking it up for Martin Harris. Martin Harris lived just north of town, a mile and a quarter. And this on what is today Maple Avenue from Main Street, Palmyra. And he had them curb and rock up the well. And in their talking, they began to discuss things. And the family became acquainted at that particular time. Martin Harris and his family are central. Martin, as you recognize, very early is promoting Joseph Smith's enterprise and promoting his work with the Book of Mormon. And early on, he's the offerer of $50, Mr. Smith, to do the Lord's work with, to help Joseph Smith get down on the Susquehanna where he can translate the Book of Mormon. The whole family becomes involved, as it were. Martin Harris goes down in February of 1828, and he is there to get what is called the Anthon transcript, mm-hmm. The transcript of characters which he took to New York. Took his wagon and went out to see Professors Anthon and Mitchell. And his wife plays an important role. Initially, she's excited about the prospect of golden plates and rushes right down to see them ahead of Martin and offers money. When she is turned down, she's turned off, and over a period of time, she is a nemesis for the prophet Joseph Smith, and accompanies Martin initially in April of 1828 down to the Susquehanna. And there she is looking for the plates and searching about and casting about everywhere to have a look at them until she ran into a black snake in the woods, and that turned her off on that aspect. She left the home where she was staying, the Joseph Smith homestead, and went among the neighbors and stayed with the neighbors and began to poison minds And so she is an interesting personality who will later bring Joseph to court.
That's kind of interesting that in the same household you have a friend and a foe there.
There are many friends and those who are not always friendly to the prophet. But people don't realize that Emer Harris, the brother of Martin Harris, is a joiner. Mm-hmm. And baptized by Hiram Smith and Newell Knight when he's down in Luzerne County, Pennsylvania. And you don't recognize that Parna Chapel is brought into the net very early. So you have Emer Harris, a brother, Preserved Harris, a brother, also joined the church. Interestingly enough, Preserved Harris saw the 116-page manuscript. Hmm. He was one of those five people who were personally identified by the prophet and the Lord. And when Martin Harris took the 116 pages north on June 15, 1828, and showed them to the household, Preserved Harris was one of them, and Lucy Harris was one of them. And Nancy Warren Harris is the wife of Preserved Harris, who joins the church. Harriet Harris, who married John H. Sweet from SOTUS, joined the church, and so did John H. and his wife. Naomi Harris joined the church. She joins out of Michigan, but she'd married a local Ezekiel Kellogg and then went off to Michigan. Nathan Harris and Rhoda Harris were friendly, but not members of the church. Huh. And their work was done later on.
That's a very interesting concept to think that the name that we're most familiar with of Martin Harris, and then we also know about his wife because of the 116 pages, but there were many of the Harris clan, I guess you would say, that were supporters and friends of the prophet Joseph Smith. You're listening to Past Impressions on the Mormon Channel. We're speaking today with Professor Larry Porter, Emeritus Professor of Church History and Doctrine at Brigham Young University. We're talking about the friends and foes of the Smith family in the Palmyra area. And Larry, you've been telling us about Martin Harris and the extended Harris family. Tell us about some of the others that would have been strong supporters of the Prophet Joseph and the work of the Restoration, perhaps names that we don't recognize as much in the church as a name like Martin Harris.
There are some passers-by that I might mention. Orlando Saunders was a friend to the Smiths and gave them good billing later on when people inquired. When E.L. Kelly and William H. Kelly came by and interviewed Orlando. Orlando lives in a white house on the Canandaigua Road on Highway 21 and just up, just north of the Ontario-Wayne County line. And he said, "I knew all the Smith family well, and they have all worked for me many days. They were good people. Young Joe, as we called him then, he has worked for me, and he was a good worker. I never noticed that we were different, that they were different from other neighbors. They were the best family in the neighborhood. In case of sickness, one was always at my house nearly all the time when my father died," and that was Lucy Smith. "I always thought them honest."
That's a great statement, especially in light of the fact that some people today try to portray the Smith family as ne'er-do-wells, and to know that there were friends like that that did vouch for their honesty, their integrity, and goodness. That's a great example.
This is an interesting paradox, but the Orlando Saunders home is in the church now.
Oh, interesting.
And the sister missionaries that support the visitor's center live there.
How about that? That's great. You know, there's another name that we run into sometimes of how did he get connected with Joseph Smith and become a friend of Joseph Smith. But the name that we hear sometimes in the church is Orrin Porter Rockwell. How does he come on the scene, and how's he linked to this group of neighbors and friends?
Orrin Porter Rockwell is a young friend of the prophet Joseph Smith, and lived perhaps a mile south on the Stafford Road. And Orrin Porter Rockwell and his family and the Smith family were friends, and in a limited sense, the social friends.
Uh-huh.
They got together often. And Orrin Porter Rockwell takes a particular shine to the prophet. And when the monies are being raised for the Book of Mormon, he's out trying to collect money 50 cents at a time and trying to do something. Orrin Porter Rockwell will be an 1830 joiner. When the church is first organized, he and his mother, Sarah Witt, she's a stepmother, Sarah Witt Rockwell, joined the church. Orrin is the namesake of his father, Orrin Rockwell. And Orrin, the daddy, doesn't join the church, although he goes with them to Kirtland, but he doesn't join until Kirtland times. And there are other members of the family who are also in the early baptismal lists. And Orrin Porter Rockwell accompanies the prophet right down to the wire. When he goes to Carthage, Joseph encouraged him to stay home, as there were those who were had animosity toward him. And when he heard that Joseph had been killed, he said, "They've killed him, damn it, they've killed him." And pardon the French, but Orrin Porter Rockwell was with the prophet, and would have gone and went across the river with him, and would have gone west or north and east, whatever the prophet had in mind at the time that he was leaving Nauvoo, and then encouraged to come back by others. Orrin Porter said, "You know best. You make your bed, and I'll sleep in it."
Interesting. Well, who are some others of those friends? You know this time period, and I say that these are your personal friends. Who are some of these others that most Latter-day Saints would probably not know about that really were great heroes and heroines of this period of time?
Alexander McIntyre would fall into that category. Alexander McIntyre, his home still stands. It's just on the west side of the Methodist Church at the Four Corners on Main Street in Palmyra. And Lucy said not only was he a doctor and a friend, but when he was asked to head a mob at the time that Joseph Smith was transporting the manuscript or making arrangements for the publication of the Book of Mormon, the mob wanted Alexander McIntyre to lead them. And Lucy Smith said when Joseph was about starting for Palmyra, where the writings were to be executed, Dr. McIntyre came in and informed us that 40 men were collected in the capacity of a mob with a view of waylaying Joseph on his way thither, that they requested him, Dr. McIntyre, as they had done once before, to take command of the company, and that upon his refusing to do so, one Mr. Hussey, a hatter of Palmyra, proffered his services and was chosen the leader. Mm. It's interesting that when Alvin received an overdose of calomel from Dr. Greenwood, a new doctor in town whom Mother Smith referred to as a murdering quack, The calomel lodged in his upper intestine, gangrened, and eventually killed him. Dr. McIntyre was among the four eminent physicians who were called in to try to relieve the situation, and he conducted the autopsy on Alvin, was one of those, he and Dean Robinson, when they examined the cause of death. He was a good friend to the family.
You're listening to Past Impressions on the Mormon Channel. We're talking today with Professor Larry Porter about some of the friends, acquaintances, and even some of those that tried to stand in the way of Joseph Smith and his family and caused some opposition. We've been talking about some of those names, both known to Latter-day Saints and maybe not so known. So, Brother Porter, who are some of the other friends that you see of the Smith family in this important developmental period of the history of the Church?
In examining the period, you would have to look at Lemuel Durfee Sr. Lemuel Durfee Sr. Was a long-time resident, early Palmyra resident, and was a Revolutionary War veteran and is recognized as such. Lemuel Durfee lived up on the Jeffrey Road north of Palmyra, not far from Martin Harris's home. But his home, incidentally, stood until very recently when the Palmyra Fire Department had a controlled burn. Huh. And burned the old home, and everyone was sad to see the old frame home go. He is the one who gave land for the Quaker chapel, and which stood just a few hundred yards from his home. And he was Peter Harris, the brother of Lucy Harris, the wife of Martin Harris. Peter held forth in that building as a preacher for the Quaker organization. And Lemuel Durfee was a good Quaker. Huh. And also a good friend to the Smith family. At the time in 1825 when they lost their home, and because Russell Stoddard, who had been a carpenter on the project, tried to wrest it away from them under unseeming circumstances and misrepresenting the Smiths, they contacted Lemuel Durfee to give them some assistance in paying the monies. Short of that, they were in hopes that Lemuel Durfee would buy the 100-acre Smith properties and absorb the existing mortgage, which he consented to do. And for $1,500, he was able to get the 100-acre Smith farm in December of 1825, and also allowed the Smiths to stay there, and this is not always realized, until the spring of 1829, they were renters, as it were. And the rent was paid in work, and he provided work especially for Samuel on a regular basis. But Hiram and Joseph and Father Smith are all listed in his day book as having been hired by Lemuel Durfee. He died in August of 1829 in his will, and the executors, they are turning things over finally to his daughter. And his daughter had married a man by the name of Nichols. And Mary Nichols received the farm eventually. And she kept it for some time. The Durfee name stands high on the Smith list of good friends.
Wow, that's great. Who would be some of the foes? Right off the top of your head, if we were to say who were those that stood in the way of Joseph and his work in trying to bring forth the Book of Mormon and ultimately the establishment of the Church, who stands out as some of those that were kind of the obstructionists?
You have to take into account the sectarian opposition to the publication of the Book of Mormon. Right while the book was in progress, there was a council or a delegation, probably composed of Presbyterians and Methodists and Baptists, But the citizens were there, and they determined that they would send a delegation of three men to call on Lucy Smith and then distract her and take the Book of Mormon manuscript that was in the house away from her while the men were out at work in the field. And they would immediately commit it to the flames as though that would take care of the situation. When it was asked, what if we don't get the manuscript? And they didn't, because Lucy Smith, when they called, perceived what they were doing. And when they lambasted her son and the volume, she took exception to them. But when the men said, what if we don't get the manuscript? Then shall we buy their books and allow our families to read them? They, members of the council, responded no. They then entered into a solemn covenant never to purchase even a single copy of the work or permit one member of their family to buy or read one. The people who were involved by name, we're singling out the Presbyterian Church, the Western Presbyterian Church of Palmyra, there are records of the session of the Presbyterian Church. It still exists, volume number 2. And on March 10th, 1830, a committee was called to visit the Smiths. And they did so, but received no satisfaction. Resolved that they be cited to appear before the session on the 24th of March. At 2 o'clock, the Smiths did not come. Who were members of the Presbyterian Church? Lucy Smith, the mother. Sophronia Smith, a daughter. Hiram Smith, a son, and Samuel Harrison Smith. And they're the ones who are being summoned. On March 29th, 1830, the persons before cited to wit, Hiram Smith, Lucy Smith, and Samuel Harrison Smith, they dropped Sophronia because she'd married Calvin Stoddard and were living over in Mastodon, not appearing in the session, having satisfactory evidence that the citations were duly served, resolved that they be censored for their contumacy. Resolved that George Beckwith, now here's one of the thorns in the side of the Smith for a long, long time. George Beckwith managed their defense. On the 29th, the Book of Mormon had just come off the press or was available to the public on March 26th, 1830. Notice that this is on March 29th, 1830, that the Smiths, so named, minus Sophronia, resolved that Hiram Smith, Lucy Smith, and Samuel Harrison Smith be, and they are hereby suspended from the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. For a failure to attend for the last 9 months. Things were coming to a head. They'd stayed with a social with the organization on a social basis for years. But now that the Book of Mormon was in the offing, they were prepared to leave that organization if necessary, and did.
You're listening to Past Impressions on the Mormon Channel. Today we're talking with Professor Larry Porter, and we're talking about some of the friends and foes of the Smith family in New York during the early developmental stages of the church. We've talked about some of the friends up in the Palmyra area, and we'll come back to that. But I think it's important that we mention some of the friends and foes in a different neighborhood, and that is that Joseph and Emma don't just stay in the Palmyra, Manchester area. They end up down in the Susquehanna. Larry, why don't you tell us about how they end up down there and some of the key men and women in the history of the church down in that area?
When Joseph Smith was still single in 1825, Joseph Smith had previously met with Moroni, as has been indicated heretofore, and had met with the angel. on September 22nd of 1825. And then in October of 1825, Joseph was visited by a man by the name of Josiah Stoll. Josiah Stoll was a farmer, a well-to-do farmer. He had carding mills, he had a sawmill, he had a grist mill down on the Susquehanna, and operating off of Reed's Creek and sometimes called Soul Creek. But he had been working with a man by the name of Oliver Harper. Together they had a treasure map, which they had acquired, source unknown. But Oliver Harper had the map, and they were digging down on the Susquehanna in the great bend of the Susquehanna and working up Flatbrook. And not having much success, Oliver Harper went down river and took some hides down, and when he came back, he was murdered by a man by the name of Jason Treadwell for his purse. And Josiah Stoll fell heir to the treasure map, which he obtained from Mrs. Harper. Her name was Tryphena, if you need a good name. And that's a good biblical name for Mac, by the way. But Tryphena and Josiah Stoll share alike, and brought in some other people. And they commenced digging once again, but not much success. Simpson Stoll, a son of Josiah Stoll, alerted him to Joseph Smith, who had seeritic qualities. And Joseph Smith then was contacted by Josiah Stoll. And at first he said, I demurred. I said, no. The magic words were, I'll give you $14 a month room and board, and I'll take your father too. And so it was agreed, and Joseph Smith went down on the Susquehanna. They lodged at the home of Isaac Hale. Isaac Hale provided board and room for them for a fee, and they continued their dig up Flatbrook. They only dug there from November 1 through about November 17th. And Joseph Smith said, I finally convinced the old gentleman we were wasting our time. And so they packed up bag and baggage and went up to Josiah Stoll's farm, and Joseph continued his hire there, working in his fields and in his mills. While he was there at the Hale home, he met the comely daughter of Isaac Hale, Emma. Emma was a striking figure, somewhere around 5'9". She was tall, at any rate, and quite accomplished. And he fell madly in love with her, and he continued to go downriver to visit her. And even when his work with Josiah Stoll was transferred, his efforts to Joseph Knight, down river, just a couple of miles on the Susquehanna in Broome County, Joseph continued to go down river, some 28 miles, and Joseph Knight loaned him his sleigh to do that. And Joseph got up enough nerve to ask for the hand of Emma, and her father, Isaac Hale, said no. And Joseph said, I was under the necessity of taking her elsewhere. That's a good way to say they eloped. And they went up to Josiah Stoll's. And their arrangements were made for their marriage. Josiah Stoll is an interesting character. He was characterized by Dr. Purple, who became involved in the 1826 trial of the prophet Joseph Smith. He said of Josiah Stoll, a man of much force of character, of indomitable will, and well-fitted as a pioneer in the unbroken wilderness that this country possessed at the close of the last century. He had been educated in the spirit of orthodox Puritanism. and was officially connected with the First Presbyterian Church of the town, organized by Reverend Mr. Chapin. He was a very industrious, exemplary man, and by severe labor and frugality had acquired surroundings that excited the envy of many of the less fortunate. He very probably was present for the wedding of Joseph Smith and Emma. He had invited them up to his home, and Emma makes the comment that that Mr. Stoll exercised much persuasion. And she said, desiring to marry him more than any other man I had met, I conceded. The wedding party, interestingly enough, Martha Carpenter saw the wedding party go by, and whether Josiah was there or in an adjoining sleigh, it was wintertime, January 18th, 1827. Martha Carpenter told Reverend Oscar Beardsley of seeing Josiah Stoll Jr., the son, and sisters Rhoda and Miriam take the young man in a sleigh to the ferry, which was just below the Wilcox place, cross on the ice, then go up the east side of the river to the home of Squire Tarbell. The wedding party adjourned after the wedding. Zachariah Tarbell, justice of the peace. Joseph was taken in the wagon of Josiah Stoll and his new bride up to the Smith farm. And they were still at the 100-acre farm at that time in the frame home, which is so well known. And Joseph then labors there until September, when again he meets with Moroni. And interestingly enough, on September 22nd, 1827, when Joseph goes to the hill to retrieve the plates on schedule, and Em is there and waits at the base of the hill, the house guests are none other than Josiah Stoll and Joseph Knight, who are waiting patiently for the return of the prophet with the plates. Josiah Stoll is a good friend, would have stuck by the prophet forever if his family had not interceded heavy family pressure when the saints left to go to Kirtland. He did not go with the Colesville branch, but rather remained behind, went over to Smithboro. And his wife died in 1833, and he died in 1844, having sent a letter to Joseph Smith saying, I've missed you, and if you will have me, I will join you next season. The letter was from Martha Campbell in her hand, 1843. Both parties were dead. In 1844, Joseph had died at Carthage. Josiah Stoll had died in Smithboro.
That is interesting. It's been fascinating talking today with Professor Larry Porter about many of the friends and supporters of the Prophet Joseph and some of those that were enemies. Join us again on a future episode of Past Impressions, where we discuss people, places, events associated with the history of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Brent Topp, and we look forward to you in a future broadcast. Thank you.